Homeschooling is an epic investment of your time, energy, and on days, your sanity. Our goal is to come alongside you with weekly encouragement and practical help so you can homeschool boldly. Welcome to the Homeschool Boldly podcast brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine. Ashley Wiggers here with special guests Ray and Charlene Knotgrass of Knotgrass History. Ray and Charlene, thank you so much for joining me.
It's such a joy, and it's so good to see you, Ashley.
Yes, it's an honor.
Ray holds his master's in history, and he and Charlene have always loved the subject. They began their homeschooling journey back in 1990. I would love to hear about what led you to start homeschooling.
I liked the idea the first time I heard about it, which was before John, our oldest, went to kindergarten. But Ray had been trained in education, and he thought his wife was a little bit crazy for thinking about it.
Yes.
And it wasn't until after we experienced some problems in the public school and also had the opportunity to listen to what was back then talks on cassette tape and radio about some of the agenda behind public education and that sort of thing. And so we thought about it for a few months, and finally, being organized people and always planning things well in advance, decided in August we were going to start homeschooling in 1990. The issues were mostly moral, you know, things we saw in the public school that we didn't like, and some bullying on our youngest child. So those were our reasons that we started.
And now I know you had kind of a transition from kind of doing school at home to really truly homeschooling. So can you tell me about how that developed?
Well, Charlene, hard worker that she is, as so many moms do, I think, tried to recreate the public school in our home and did planning every night. And the first material that we had were textbooks. The second year we had a very involved unit study, and it was just overwhelming. It was not enriching and lifting us up. It was pressing us down. And I just felt like, man, there's got to be some easier way to educate these children. And so we went away from homeschooling for a couple of years. But when we came back, Charlene wisely said, we're going to do this differently. And it really became a lifestyle, became who we were. I think it opened up a lot of possibilities for us, not just in schooling, but in life.
I like to say that we thought when we started homeschooling that we were starting to homeschool, but that we were really learning how to live. It was just really transformational for us. So we had 2 years away. We homeschooled for 2 years, and then we did a private Christian school for a year. Then we moved back home to Tennessee so we could help with our parents. And Ray had a wonderful preaching opportunity in this area. So we came back to Tennessee, and people told us we don't have Christian schools here. We don't need them because so many of our teachers are Christians. And that was really true. But that didn't mean it wasn't public school, and it didn't mean that the kids at school were acting the way we wanted them to be acting around our children. And our oldest and our youngest just started begging us to come back. We put them in public school that second year we were away from homeschooling. And so two were begging us to come back. And one was saying, you'll ruin my life if you homeschool me, because she was 12 years old and none of us women want to be 12 again. It's just such a hard time. So I began to pray that God would make us all want to do the same thing. And I didn't want to drop her off at school. I didn't want to hurt our relationship by forcing her to do something she didn't want to do. I was just in this quandary, you know. So I prayed that God would make us want to do the same thing. And in July, before we began homeschooling again, she came to us and said, I want to homeschool. And that just made it really, really clear. And we were just so grateful to God for that blessing. Well, at that time, I decided to write down a goal for our homeschooling. And I wrote that I wanted us and our children and their spouses and their children and their spouses to live for God on earth and live forever with Him in heaven. And everything we did homeschooling this time was going to be for that. And I actually even wrote out a list of about 30 objectives, like know the Bible, love God, know the math you need to know, be interesting, be uniquely God's man or woman, just a hodgepodge of character and knowledge. And that's what we were going to do this time. And we began homeschooling in August, and it just was a wonderful, wonderful adventure after that.
I would hope to encourage your listeners by saying we didn't have it all together before we took this step. There's a saying that I like to use is ready, shoot, aim. We made the decision and then we grew in it, and I grew in it, and it developed over time, and we just felt better and better about it.
Before our oldest, John, went to kindergarten, I remember thinking, I had friends who sent their kids to nursery school, and I kept thinking, I ought to do that too. So I tried it twice. He stayed one day both times. And I just couldn't stand for him not to be with us. And I remember specifically thinking, he's going to have to be in school for 12 years. I want him to know my values before he has to go to school. And so that was always who I was, you know, deep down in my heart. And I loved being with our children. And even when they were in public school, I couldn't wait for spring break. I loved the weekends. I wasn't one of those mothers who was saying, when is Christmas break going to be over? And we both really enjoyed our children. And I remember just being so joyful when our kids were teenagers that they were spending their time with each other. I mean, they had friends, but they were spending so much more time with each other than I spent with my brother. And I even actually grieved over the lost time with my brother as I saw how much better it was for our children.
Wow, that's really beautiful. I love how once you kind of put those priorities in the right place, then it really flowed and you were able to step into your rhythm of what homeschooling looked like for your family, and you saw it working and how God does that. It's just amazing to me. Well, I am really excited about the 25 years. You guys are celebrating 25 years with Knotgrass History. So how did that come about? Why did you create Knotgrass History?
Well, we started homeschooling while I was in the ministry full time. And in 1999, we decided to transition out of that and start a company. And we thought that we were going to be doing Bible curriculum, because Charlene and I had both written Bible class curriculum for the churches where I had been serving. But the first homeschool convention we went to after we started making this transition, someone said, boy, I wish someone would write a Tennessee history before we go on the mission field. And so we looked at each other and said, we could do that, not knowing what was involved. But that was a lot of work, but great fun. And then I said, I want to do an American history for high school and do it the way that I was taught in high school, where the history and literature were coordinated, but added Bible to that, kind of an American church history thing. And that was well received. And people started saying, when are you going to do this for world history? And so I went back and started doing that. And so the Lord opened up the history avenue for us. And as project followed project, we came to see that this was our calling to provide what is called social studies, I hate to say it, civics and government and economics, but do it from a Christian perspective and coordinate the subjects, make faith the core and the center of it all. And it developed in that way. And the Lord has blessed us amazingly.
When Ray wrote American History, neither of us had any idea we would ever work on another high school history at the time. looking back, we know we did not have a clue what we were doing. And actually, you met us first when we were pretty new to this. Our books are just flying out of the warehouse. It just blows our mind. We built a big warehouse a couple of years ago, and a lot of our friends will say, I saw your warehouse, and they think we would be very excited about it. But it's just a tool. It never was our dream to do something like that. Our dream was, at first, to share the Bible with people. And what God gave to us. I mean, we just look back at this story and just are amazed at what God has done. Because, like Ray said, we didn't start out to write history. It was because of this one woman who sent that to us. And then Ray got this opportunity to teach adjunct at our local university in American history. And it was after three semesters of that. Back when that extra income was really helpful to us because our company was so young. So he had all these wonderful American history notes, and that was his basis for starting out to write the American histories. And then it was other people asking us. So the first history that was mostly my project was America the Beautiful for fifth, eighth graders. And we look back, and it's just funny to me now because for years, literally years, people would say to us, can I use your high school history with my younger student? And because it has literature and primary sources and all, it is definitely high school. I would say, I really don't think your child's probably ready for Uncle Tom's Cabin. So, no, I don't think you should use it for high school. And finally, it was just like this big dust slap. I guess we're supposed to write one for middle school. I mean, when I look back, I think, well, why didn't we think that the first time we heard it, you know, but we did it. And so now we've finished 9 years and we just have three more to go to have when you can do not just history from first grade through 12th grade. But that was something God had to show us and teach us, not our business plan or anything like that. So back to building the warehouse, we just want to help families. Well, our motto is teaching the heart, soul, and mind, and that's the heart of our curriculum. That Tennessee history we did once a week, we had a Bible study, and at the end of every lesson, there was a Bible verse. So many kids have gotten an opportunity to learn Bible whose parents would have never bought Bible curriculum from us. One of the best stories we have ever heard. About maybe a year ago, a mother wrote me, and she had come to our booth back when I was traveling and told me, I want a secular history. And I said, well, just look at it, you know. And she decided to buy it. And at first, she was not going to read the Bible verses. And then she started reading them. And then she said, and I tell people I homeschooled myself into the arms of Jesus.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
That's just wonderful to watch God work when you had no idea what he was doing.
There's really no greater reward than that, is there?
Wow. No. And one time a mother wrote Ray, and his last lesson in world history is, okay, what about you? You know, what's your future going to be?
One day history will end.
And then what? This mother wrote and said that her high school son came into the kitchen crying. And she said, you know, what's the matter? And he said, I just read the last lesson in world history. I have not been being the way I need to be. And you know,
that's just amazing. And I love that you guys get to hear these stories, that people are sharing them with you. It makes it all worth it.
Man, it sure does. It sure does. And we've just continued that Bible teaching integrated into the history. And so 25 years, we're just in awe. And it's really God's story.
I love that. Well, you touched on this a little bit, but you started out with Tennessee history and it's led to all of this, which is amazing. And your goal really for a student who goes through the curriculum, when they come out the other side, what do you want them to know? What do you want them to be thinking about?
I hope that they will enjoy history and will be lifelong learners, will continue to read and not just see books as something to get through as an assignment. I hope that they will see the integration of history and faith and how that is really an essential way to look at not only history, but what's happening around us also. We hope they'll grow as Christians and as citizens and appreciate what we have in our great country.
Yes, one of our first courses for middle school, and when we talk about middle school, we're talking about fifth through eighth grade. We came out with a product called Uncle Sam and You, and that's a very descriptive title. We wanted students not to just study a civics course, you know, which could be exciting if you like that kind of thing, or extremely boring. But we teach them everything from literally how a stop sign is put up. When I was working on that lesson, I went to our local department and they told me exactly, you know, how you dig the hole and everything. We just wanted the students not to just go through their world and not realize what's around them and what it takes. And also in that course, we try to teach them deep respect for what everybody does, how everybody contributes. And I'm a conservative small government person myself. But when picking on Uncle Sam and You really helped me realize, yes, I feel that way. But when I pull up to a stop sign, I want it to work. And so I want the students to realize that God created us to be very dependent on one another. So we have a lesson about how a kernel of wheat becomes a chocolate chip cookie in your mother's kitchen. It involves a grocer who puts it on the shelf. It involves the farmer who grows the wheat, the truck driver who takes it where it has to go. So when he said citizens, I'm sorry, I just kind of got on a roll about this, but it's just really important to me. And the respect for first responders, for the military. We have a lesson on what the president does all day. We took a real day in the life of George Herbert Walker Bush and just, I mean, he got up, he had breakfast, he met with so-and-so, he called the king of wherever, he called his mother because he was leaving that day on a long trip overseas, you know. So that's another thing. We try to weave respect for families, respect for the unborn, respect for the elderly. So there's just a whole lot of thought that goes into everything we write. And we also try to show the amazing world and universe that God has created. So if I can add to what Ray said, I want children to finish our curriculum knowing why things are the way they are, knowing that God is the creator and source of everything they see, and to basically to teach them to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love their neighbor as themselves. I think one way to put it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, history can kind of become a boring subject if it's taught with just the facts and just information in, information out. But you all don't do it that way. You take it and you make it as real as possible to the student by having them see how it applies to their life and their surroundings, and also filtering it through their understanding of God. So that is just really a testament to what a great job you've done of putting it together and helping students see things that way. Thank you for all of your hard work for these 25 years.
Thank you.
Now, I wanted to ask you, since you've been through the homeschooling journey and you've known a lot of homeschoolers, what's your biggest tip that you can give homeschooling parents to help them enjoy the journey?
To see children as a gift and to take it to the Lord and be at peace about the direction that they have chosen and believe that it will work and the result will be something they can be at peace about.
I also want them to accept who God made when he made their children and accept who God made when he made the parents. Because God is the one who puts us in families and he makes decisions about every child. Our newest grandchild was born a month ago with Down syndrome. That is not a tragedy. That is a gift. It's a joy. And every child is made in the image of God. And we can celebrate every child. And not every child is capable of going to MIT and graduating with a summa cum laude in some very technical science. That is not a tragedy. God made us all different, and it wouldn't be horrible if we were all the same. And I think one of the ways to enjoy it is just to learn how to enjoy our children and to calm down about ideas that have been imposed on us, not from God, but from the world. You know, even graduation at 18, what why? I mean, maybe a child needs to stay at home and continue learning at home until they're 20. That maybe sounds like a radical example, but just like not every child is going to read even by, you know, 8, 9, 10. You know, not every child is going to. And one thing that helps you enjoy it is to realize that what is true for my child right now won't always be true. I mean, personality and capability, yes, maybe that'll always be true. But just because my child doesn't know 5 times 5 right now does not necessarily mean he or she will never know it. Just an acceptance of how God made us and realization that that's something to celebrate and not something to lament.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a follow-up question to that, because I think this ties right into everything that you've already said. But this is the Homeschool Boldly podcast. And so I always like to ask our guests, what does the phrase homeschool boldly mean to you?
I think it means that we can homeschool confidently before God, believing that he does indeed guide and help. I think we can homeschool boldly in the face of those who might question us, you know, and wonder about whether this is what the family really needs to do. I think we can homeschool boldly in believing that we can provide a good education for our children. I want to say this, if we don't homeschool boldly, our children will know it. They'll pick up on fears or being tenuous, and that's going to leave them in the lurch. They need their parents to be confident and positive and sure about this and not just constantly wondering and second guessing.
That's a great point. Well, you guys are just wonderful, and I really appreciate your time today and your wisdom that you've offered to our listeners, the encouragement. Thank you both for what you're doing. We really love you, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, Ashley.
We love you too, Ashley.
Thank you. Until next time, everyone, go and homeschool boldly. And remember, you've got this because he's got you.
This podcast is brought to you by Homeschooling Today magazine. Homeschooling Today is a quarterly magazine created by real people with a passion for honesty and encouragement. You won't find articles telling you everything you're not doing. Instead, you'll find homeschooling parents who have walked where you are or are currently on the path and want to help you succeed. We want to invite you to subscribe today and join the growing movement of parents who are setting aside comparisons, taking control of their children's education, choosing courage over fear, letting God lead, and homeschooling boldly. Visit homeschoolingtoday.com to learn more.